Previously on Two Jews and a Gay.
We are recording live together for the first time in the history of the podcast.
Two Jews and a Gay.
Last thing from Joel. He says to me, this is the second top result when you Google Two Jews and a Gay. It's wikipedia.org, wiki, Judaism. I don't know why I could, because it's...
You are a Jew, by the way.
Or in Vegas, I figured we should do a Sin City-related headline. Last week, news broke that Spears was in talks with Caesars Hotel to have her own nightly show and Vegas residency. Would you rather see Britney or Celine?
Britney Spears.
Oh, come on, hands down. Celine Dion, she's the voice of an angel. We are going over to Spencer for a new game.
The theme of this week is scumbags. Lance Armstrong. Man Tay Tay.
The worst.
Adam Warshaw.
We're
trying to figure out which of the three the scumbags are.
Episode 17 of Two Jews and a Gay. I am your host, Brian Martinson, along with Jeremy Katz.
I'd like to give a shout out to a new listener and fan of the podcast, Sarah, who has declared herself on Team Spencer.
And Spencer Yasmin.
I'm all choked up. My girlfriend's not even on Team Spencer, so I appreciate it.
I guess my question is, what were other team options?
Well, it's either Team Spencer, Team Jeremy, or Team B-Mart, and she chose Team Spencer's.
Maybe we eventually we can have like a tournament between the three teams of like questions and whatnot.
Like, she's hands down, Spencer is her favorite part of the podcast.
We gotta get this one on the podcast.
clearly, Sarah does not know the behind the scenes portions were, because if she did, oh boy.
Sarah, I thank you, and Team Yasmin thanks you. We will be asking for a donation in the near future because we're trending lately. But thank you very much.
Team Spencer making a comeback.
We needed it. Yeah, God knows we needed it.
It's not like, you know, Jeremy. Let's be honest. Because of the laugh, Jeremy probably has more people on his team than Spencer or I do. And because I'm the asshole of the podcast, it's hard for me to get a lot of people. But I'm a necessary component for this podcast. I'm the one who keeps it real.
And we're moving on with that statement. So let's go.
We are recording the Saturday before the Super Bowl. It's been a while since we've gotten together. It's actually been since Vegas since we've gotten together. I figure it's not too early in the morning. I'm still in bed. Jeremy is ready to go. And Spencer is out and about, so it's a good day. What's been going on with you boys? Anything exciting on over the weekend?
Me? Not really. I got a wedding today at the Ritz.
Ritz. Fancy.
Gonna have to get ready early, get all dressed up. Necktie's gonna be killing me because I got that wiry neck. It's just gonna be miserable. But I'm gonna get through it.
You do not have a neck for You do not have a neck for a necktie.
I don't.
You just don't.
And, you know, I have a very long neck, too, I've noticed. I don't know if you guys noticed in Vegas, but I have a very absurdly long neck, like a giraffe. Sarah,
or
if
ostrich.
You're keeping track, I have a very long neck, probably about 6 to 7 inches. But
that's the longest part.
Oh, absolutely,
of his body.
Absolutely. But
if you're expecting 6 or 7 inches anyplace else, you would be really disappointed.
We already clarified that, Brian. But thanks for continuing. And so tomorrow, I'm coaching the final regular season game of my 4th and 5th grade Orthodox Jew basketball team. Looking forward to that. We're hoping to get.
What's your record?
We're 1-6, and that one win happened when I was in Vegas. So you know, erroneous on all accounts, but it doesn't matter. So, yeah, fun weekend ahead. Jeremy, what about you?
Nice. I think we're going to do a little dancing tonight. I think that's the point.
Oh, I'll tell you, do a little dancing? What's a little
dancing?
Magic
Mikey was not on board.
Like, tell me, do some dancing?
Yeah,
dancing.
Oh, man, it's going to be, I guess if we're going dancing, then I got to get really boozed up.
Is it dancing or dancing?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
A little dancing. And then
pre-Valentine's Day, which pre-Valentine's Day. I mean, it's the 2nd of February for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's way pre.
That's way pre. It's like, why not call it like the pre-Christmas party?
Exactly. And then tomorrow, hosting a Super Bowl party at my place. Spencer, you have yet to confirm if you're coming.
I have yet to get an invite, but thank you.
I'll be bringing chocolate chip cookies.
Hey.
How's that Austin trip?
See on the couch.
Well, Derek said that he wanted something.
I just heard about it.
He said there was a lot of savory. He wanted something a little sweet.
Oh.
But let's keep the show going and bring it back to everyone's favorite segment, yours and mine. Highly regarded, so well regarded. In fact, there was a spinoff. Let's move over to Spencer for a little dirty talk.
All right. So let's start this off with. Do you guys know who Anna Burns is?
I do not know.
Brian?
No. Who's Anna Burns?
I'm glad you asked. What if I said the name Anna Burns Welker? Do you know who that is?
Oh, okay, yes. Wes Welker's.
Sneaky.
Wes Welker's wife, right?
Crazy wife.
Yeah. So Anna Burns Welker, horrible name, by the way, but she had the following Facebook post after the Pats-Ravens game and that she has since apologized for. She wrote, "Proud of my husband and the Pats. By the way, if anyone is bored, please go to Ray Lewis's Wikipedia page. 6 kids, 4 wives, acquitted for murder, paid a family off. Yay! What a hell of a famed player. A true role model."
Yikes.
Brian, would you ever would you ever have a significant other? Would you like tell them to shut up if they ever made comments like that to a guy that could eat you with his deer antler spray?
No, I mean, yeah, obviously she's very passionate, but at the same time, like, you need to know that you can't say stuff like that because it just you come off, even if everything she said was the God's honest truth, which there's significant.
Oh, I heard a knock at your door.
Discrepancies. There's significant discrepancies in what is in the Wikipedia page and what actually may have happened in real life. But even if everything there was like gospel. You come off as a horribly bad sport, and you just come off as some sort of raving bitch, to be perfectly honest.
And it's not her first time, right, Spencer? Didn't she last year say something after the
Super
Bowl?
Yeah, she made a comment like Brady
no, wasn't that
threw
Giselle?
The ball poorly to him in the Super Bowl. I mean, Tom Brady has made Wes Welker's career. Let's be honest here. I mean, he's a very quick wide receiver, but if he ends up going to another team, he's going to get a lot of money, and he's not going to do anything for that other team. He'll go to the Jaguars. He won't be relevant, and then he'll get cut after a year because he's making too much money. Yep. So, all right, next up, Katie Couric got the exclusive interview with Manti Te'o, who was last
Manti Te'o,
who was one of three.
Who's a Mormon?
Shocked Brian, and was one of our three scumbags last week. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Lance, for participating. So Katie Couric asked a hard-nosed question. Manti Te'o, are you gay? Manti Te'o responded. This is how he responded. No, far from it. Far from it. Brian, I ask you, is this a tell of someone who's got something to hide?
The only thing gayer would it be if he was actually blowing somebody while saying that. I mean, no, like, hey, Jeremy, are you gay?
Far from it.
Yeah, Jeremy, like, no, give me an honest answer. Like if I asked you, Jeremy, are you gay, what would your honest answer be?
I'd say, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Maybe I am.
If you asked me, Brian, I would say, I don't know. Can you answer the question for me? Because I still don't know.
I think Jeremy is heteroflexible. I think if he went on a really dry spell with women, he might consider getting blown by maybe Joel.
But are you offended by that reaction he had? Because far from it. It's a little offensive, right?
It's a little offensive, but it's every gay guy who heard that kind of had a knowing smile. Like,
we've been there before. Yeah,
we know what that answer means.
Great, and that guy's
the only thing that was missing was like
that's for sure.
The only thing that was missing was him doing a big like over the top snap at the end.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next up, former 49ers tackle Kwame Harris has been charged with assaulting his former boyfriend. So this guy's not denying anything. Harris became upset when Geyer, his former boyfriend, poured soy sauce on a plate of rice, and then Harris proceeded to pull Geyer's pants down after accusing him of stealing his underwear. Harris's attorney is claiming self-defense, obviously. Brian, I ask you, is this a tell of someone who's got something to hide?
I'm still it seems so bizarre. Who accuses somebody of stealing their underpants?
Someone who's got something to hide, apparently.
I mean, I understand the soy sauce. I mean, come on, if you want, you know, rice without soy sauce, that's very, very aggravating. But to pull someone's pants down, yeah, this guy sounds like he's got some issues.
And plus, I don't think most straight guys generally want to share another guy's underwear. Have you guys ever shared underwear before?
Several times. The slutty green boxers still have them somewhere. All right, so what is dirty talk without Joel, apparently, of late?
There's got to be some Joel.
So Joel, out of nowhere, messages me on G-Chat, which he typically does on a daily basis now, and he goes, Brian told me you have a Ask Me Anything request for what sex with a man is like. I have had gay sex. Ask me anything.
That's like a game.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. I said to Joel, just do the promo that I've asked you to do, and then I'll bang you already. Joel responds, that's all I needed to hear. So I found out that's how I shut Joel off. Just tell him I will bang him, and he'll get back to work. He focuses.
But I want to point out we have not gotten the promo yet, so he's just teasing you. He's taunting you. Like, you think you're going
to
bang me?
A week-long effort to get him to do a promo for us, and still nothing. I asked Derek about when he would like to do the segment that you'll be hearing today, and Derek responded, like 9 a.m. would be better. I need some time to warm up the vocal cords and have my coffee. So we thank Derek. The vocal cords definitely came in. The coffee proceeded to take longer than what we expected, though.
I want to point out that it's now 10 a.m. I've yet to have my coffee, and this podcast will quickly go downhill if I don't get some caffeine soon.
Well, we'll wrap this up then. Greg, my good friend Greg, the voice of the voiceless, you'd say, that is not a fan of Brian's voice, as we've mentioned many times. Can't wait to get him on the podcast. Greg, listen.
You keep on saying that, yet we never get him on.
Greg listened to the Vegas podcast, so thank you, Greg. And he says,
thanks.
You need to cut out the mention of your colon being so big.
He's great with one-liners.
He's got a lot of one-liners, and we thank him. And I can't wait for the Greg versus Brian standoff. It's going to be fantastic.
I like that. The voice of the voiceless.
He is the voice of the voiceless against the voice. That's really what it comes down to. The voice of the voiceless against the voice.
I can't wait to hear what he sounds like. It'll be interesting to see if he can hold up to criticism himself. For all we know, he has a horrible voice for a podcast.
Let the debate begin. The great debate of 2013. The last thing on Dirty Talk. We were racing to get back to LA because I had a flight to catch. Brian, I thank you so much for driving under intense pressure. I was freaking out because I literally got to the airport with about 30 minutes to go. I won't thank you, however, for kind of lying to me at certain points along the way that we were closer than we really were. But Jeremy asked Brian nonetheless. Jeremy said to Brian, I hear Spencer just made his flight. And Brian goes, oh, really? Hadn't talked to him since I dropped him off. So, Brian, I thank you once again for getting me to the airport. I don't thank you for the means in which you got me to the airport, the process. And I don't thank you for checking in to make sure I actually got on the plane. Because for all you know, I could have been stuck there for a week. But I thank you nonetheless.
Well, in my defense, you're a big boy who has a phone, and I knew that you would have called if you had any problems.
You would have been the last person I called at that point, but yes.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that you would have tried to call Jeremy. Jeremy was going to be passed the fuck out. Like, who else would you have called?
Well, I talked more to my friend. I talked more to my friend in Dallas, who is from L.A. Just so you guys know, my friend from Dallas, who used to live in L.A., gave me all the little tips about the airport. Like, there's a secret gate you can get through to pass, get through all the long lines of security. So I asked Brian about this. You know, she's like, I don't know where it is exactly. But I asked Brian, I'm like, do you know where it is? And Brian's like, well, LAX has changed a lot in the last couple of years. I don't know if that still exists. I walk in. I told the guy my situation. He took me right to it. So, you know, Brian, it's okay. I don't know if you're purposely trying to screw me over or what, but and perhaps you fell asleep at some point on the road too. I'm not sure, but I do thank you nonetheless for getting me to the airport. You really went out of your way to get me there, and I do appreciate that. So,
it was a pleasure. I mean, but basically, in fairness, I was like, I was literally a fork in the road where I could have turned left and dropped off Spencer at the airport, or I could have turned right and
you
dropped off
right.
Jeremy at
which
his house.
I was shocked that you turned right
and I'm
you
like,
dropped me off.
Fuck this.
And, and I knew something was off because when Jeremy, out of nowhere, Jeremy's not the type that like really pays attention to what's going on the road. I mean, he's been living in LA for like, what, 6-7 years now? He still doesn't know
where he is.
He is the worst navigator ever.
And the fact that Jeremy said at some point on the road, like, hey, Brian, you know, maybe you should take Spencer to the airport right now. Like, it just raised a red flag to me. Like, if he's worried, then I should be worried. And Brian's like, no, we'll be there. And at one point, Brian goes, we're about 11 miles away from LAX. Don't worry. 20 minutes goes by. I go, Brian, how far are we now? He goes, 8.9 miles. I'm like, what?
Well, okay, a couple things, though. You know, Jeremy lives in, like, the heart of West Hollywood. I live just south of Westwood, so for me to like take you to LAX and then go back into West Hollywood and then drive back to my house was just going
to
be a real pain.
It was
in
more
the
worth
ass.
What
for
Brian
me
is saying, Spencer, is that Brian was prepared for you to miss your flight as long as it wasn't inconvenient for him.
That's
what I gathered. I gathered that very quickly from Jeremy's telling remark and Brian's just lack of. Brian wouldn't even give me eye contact in the car. He just kept looking forward and going, "We'll get there, You'll get there an hour in advance." And then it got to an hour. He's like, "We'll get there in 40 minutes. 40 minutes in advance. You'll be fine. Don't worry." But never looked at me in the eye and told me, so I knew something was up.
But Spencer, didn't this adrenaline rush like help you with ball movements for
I've
the
been
rest
stuffed
of the week?
Ever since, but thank you.
This is the kind of stuff that kind of gets your juices going, at least for me. Like I had to go home and take a nice massive.
Well, as Greg pointed out in Dirty Talk, I have a big colon and I shouldn't be talking about it. So that is your Dirty Talk.
And as Joel pointed out, There is room for two.
So that is your Dirty Talk of the week.
Yay, Dirty Talk.
We are here for a recurring segment that we introduced a few earlier in our history on the podcast, Sex with Sacks. And we're pleased to have Amy Sacks back with us today. Amy, welcome.
Thank you.
So the format that we're going with this segment now is we're going to take questions from well-renowned, well-regarded sex advice and advice columnists in general, and we're going to ask Amy the question and see what her response would be to this would-be letter writer. Eventually, as we kind of launch Podcast 2.0 and we have a more fully developed site, we will happily take actual questions from our actual listeners and have Amy give actual advice. But for right now, the best we can do is regurgitate someone else's question. So, are you ready, Amy?
I'm ready.
This question was written to Dan Savage, and I don't know if anybody knows who Dan Savage is, but he is a gay sex advice columnist. He does sometimes get a little kinky with the questions that he takes and the answers that he gives, but he is one of my favorite columnist that I read for this kind of thing, and I thought he would be a great way to start off the segment. So
I almost brought the UNLV to speak. Expensive. Ooh.
And he's
$20,000.
Oh my god. He's the It Gets Better guy.
He is the It Gets Better guy. Yeah. He's very big on gay rights, gay marriage. Happily, the state of Washington has passed gay marriage, so his boyfriend, now husband, and he are very happy living in Washington State.
We're all very happy for them.
Yes, we are. So here's the question. I'm a straight 24-year-old female who has been known by my fiancé since freshman year of college. He has a fetish where he likes to watch women use the bathroom. I knew this, having seen some of his porn early on, and I accepted it. We all have kinks. But while peeing in front of someone isn't that big of a deal, shitting in front of someone is hard.
Oh my god.
So we had a lovely night going when I had to poop. Went into the bathroom together. He got very horny, but I couldn't go. I said, I'm sorry. Maybe I'll be more relaxed later. And he goes, well, let's fucking hear it in case you have to go. He wanted to do it sitting on the toilet with me on top. No go. Too hard. So we went into my room and had amazing sex and smoked a joint. I wanted to have sex again, but he wanted to wait to see if I could go. He said, drink some coffee. Smoke a cigarette. I love him and want to be GGG, but the pressure turned me off. One, is this my fault for bringing it up? Two, was he pressuring me wrong? Three, how should I approach a situation without sounding like a bitch? Signed, pressured over observable performance, a.k.a. poop.
Oh my god.
So, Amy, how would you recommend this woman handle this?
Okay, well, now I know that you guys have to send me the questions because that was so much information. There's no way I can possibly remember it all, but I will try. Okay. Basically.
Let's do question one.
Okay.
Is it her fault for bringing it up?
No, it's of course not her fault for bringing it up. You should be able to talk about it whenever you want to talk about with a sex partner. Like, that's not, it can't be anybody's fault. Like, if she does something that she's uncomfortable with, then she shouldn't do it, or she should say, I'm uncomfortable with it. But I'm not even completely clear on whether or not she was uncomfortable with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, she seems kind of interested.
She does seem interested in it. She basically seemed like she's, you know, maybe a little poop shy. And let's be honest, we all are, with the exception of Spencer.
That's true.
And, you know, so the second question was his pressuring me wrong? About like the, come on, let's just do this. Let's see if you have to go. Was that wrong?
I mean, I don't know if he was really, I don't know. I mean, if she felt pressured, then like, she needed to say, I feel pressured, you know, like, please stop. But the things that she said that he said, it doesn't really sound like he was pressuring her. It sounds like he was just asking, like, because she didn't seem not interested. Do you know what I mean? Like, it sounded like he was trying to discuss it. And in discussing it, she felt pressured, which I think a lot of girls do, because I think a lot of girls, like, will do things that they're uncomfortable doing, you know? I mean, I think that's more typical than not.
Yeah, no, Amy, I also think, in fairness, a lot of guys do things that they're not necessarily totally on board for because they're getting sex out of the deal.
No, Amy, let me ask you this.
What have you guys done that you were uncomfortable doing?
Those records are classified.
Seriously, though. Like,
Jeremy, let's give her an example.
No, I'm going to ask you first, Amy, though. Let's say this is your boyfriend. You guys have been dating for a little while now, nothing too crazy. And your boyfriend has admitted to you.
That's like,
okay,
very
committed. Well, all right, let's just say, though, for you, in your case, it's a boyfriend.
Okay.
He's admitted to you that he's into this kind of thing. He wants you to poop and have sex. So how, obviously it sounds like you're not into that.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that, though? Is this a deal breaker for you with the guy? Or do you kind of just tell him, hey, listen,
I mean,
you watch
okay.
your porn and deal
exactly.
with it.
Oh, it's okay. Nothing. My husband watched this shit while we had sex. He watched me this shit. No big deal.
I mean, the thing for me would be that, like, it's okay if he's into whatever he's into. He can, like, watch that kind of porn. I would
yes.
not feel comfortable doing that. I am not personally into any, like, of that. So I wouldn't be into that. Like, you know, I don't know. I would be a little concerned.
Yes.
That, like, especially, like, they're talking, like, fiancé. If this was, like, my fiancé and I was thinking about spending the rest of my life with this person, I would be a little concerned that, like, well, if he needs that now, what is he going to need in, like, 10 years, you know? Like, so, like, is the porn going to be enough at that point? Like, is he really going to, like, need me to poop? And, like, I don't think that I could do that.
And Amy.
Take you to
buffets
Amy. On Valentine's Day. It's going to be miserable.
But here's a question, though. I think the larger question involves kinks in general. I think it's safe to say that most people have something that's a little, I don't want to say off, but a little
out
there that
I hope
irrationally
for everyone's
arouses
sake.
Them.
I hope for everyone's sake they have something.
But Amy, let me ask you this, though. Let's say this is your fiancé, and you know, he tells you, and you guys are being open, he says, this is what gets me off. At what point do you say, listen, I love you, you are someone I want to spend the rest of my life with, let's try this? You know, at what point do you say, maybe I'm judging him too harshly, I need to give it a shot?
I need to try pooping and having sex at the same time?
If that's what the man you love does, then do you give it a try?
No, I don't think so.
So then you're saying that technically you would end the relationship most likely because of that.
No, I would say that I can't do that. If he needs to end the relationship because of that, then that's him. That's not me.
Why are you dating such sick fucks?
I just find I picked this question for a couple
reasons.
Very
interesting choice.
You know, obviously Spencer's issues with going to the bathroom.
Are all of the questions going to have to do with bathroom issues?
No.
Moving on. Diarrhea story next.
Well, Spencer, would you be comfortable going to the bathroom while having sex with Corey?
Absolutely.
You didn't say that with much conviction.
Yeah, that's disturbing. No, this whole story is very disturbing. I mean, the fact that this fiance knew him since freshman year of college and knew that this was his fetish, but was like, no biggie. I mean, come on. Either you get on or off this train
honestly,
wreck from the get-go.
And
she chose to get on the train wreck.
All
so
things being equal, this isn't that out there.
I'm
really.
Sorry. I kind of disagree because I feel like what I know that gentlemen do in the bathroom is so awful. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near that. Like, no.
Oh, yeah,
because no,
women do
very
it differently.
It
comes out differently when women do it.
No, I'm not going to say that I don't, like, go to the bathroom. I do, but I don't do the same thing. Like, guys can go and wreck a bathroom where, like, you can't go into that bathroom for a long time after. Mm-hmm. Girls don't really do that. Like, I mean, sometimes,
hey, Amy,
like,
I wish I had
that
problem, okay?
That, but, like,
hey,
no.
Sweetheart, I wish I had that problem.
I know. We all wish you could.
Yeah, and Brian, you got to keep in mind though, you're talking with three people who usually don't have the anus in their foreplay. So this might be a different question for a gay male. I'm not sure. You seem like this isn't as crazy to you as it sounds to Amy Spencer and I.
I think there are certain kinks that are like, whoa, those are bizarre, deal breaky kind of kinks. First of all, I also give this...
Okay, wait. Okay, you just made me realize an important caveat, or not really, but, like, related issue. I think it wouldn't be a deal breaker if it was number one. Just because it's more sterile, and you can be in the shower. Not that I would ever... Like, I'm not into that. I'm really, really not. Like, I'm not saying this, like, to cover that up. Like, I'm not into it, but... That one's sterile, and you can be in the shower, like, during that. So, like, that I could be talked into. Like, I could still marry that guy. Number two guy, you know, I couldn't. I don't think so.
Yeah, and I'll say, Amy, I've actually been in a situation that's not as extreme as this, but a situation where the girl that I was with was into something that I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was it? You can't just leave us hanging.
Well,
speaking in generalities, what
she
was
to clip
specifically
his
what was she into?
Well, Spencer was into like a lot of ball licking, and I wasn't really feeling that. No. A girl I used to date was into being hogtied, and it was
that's just hot. I'm sorry.
Well, no. I'm talking about not hands handcuffed. That's fine. I'm talking about like actually like
I know what hogtying is.
Hogtied.
Like hands to ankles.
Yeah, and I will say, that didn't turn me on, so I never ended up doing the extreme version of that with her. But it was something that if I saw a future with this girl, I probably would have tried it because it gets her off. You gotta try. I know it's not as extreme as pooping, but I do think that if you're uncomfortable with it, you're not gonna make the relationship work.
Totally,
Jeremy. I'm just curious. Did she ever want to be like hung upside down like a pig at a luau with like an apple in his mouth? You know.
Well, it's funny because after she told me that, she's like, what about you? Like, what are you into? You know, tell me what do you want me to do? And I was kind of like, I kind of got a thing for Wonder Woman. And it's just like, you know, she's got this extreme, like, hog tie thing. And for me, it's more like, yeah,
Jeremy,
Wonder Woman.
Is that really your thing? Is Wonder Woman your, like...
Oh, the Queen of the Amazon is quite sexy.
I don't think sexualizing Wonder Woman is that out there.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
We give you some...
Brian, are you telling me you haven't fantasized about Spock many, many times?
Really, I haven't. I mean, I think Zachary Quinto's hot, but I don't think, oh, yeah, wear the pointed ears, and I want to make your rectum bleed green.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
But, yes, Leonard Nimoy is available.
All right. I think we've covered something.
He's blushing.
In good detail. Amy, we thank you for joining us on Sex with Sax. And listeners, stay tuned for the next episode of Sex and Sax, Sex with Sax coming your way.
This is Eric Katz, and I'm still looking for the thieves that stole everything of mine except my dog. And you're listening to Two Jews and a Gay.
No podcast is complete without a little bit of Dirty Talk Hollywood, so Jeremy, take it away.
First headline! And B-Mart, you'll be geeking out about this headline. The new Star Wars movie finally has its director, as J.J. Abrams has officially agreed to direct the film. With Star Wars out of Lucas's hand, and with Abrams directing the first what will be a new trilogy, what's your excitement level from 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest? B-Mart, I'll start with you.
Oh, it's higher than 10. I mean, it's like 20.
Because of Abrams, or just because it's a new trilogy?
I mean, it's so many different factors. It's J.J. Abrams as a director, the fact that they're doing a new trilogy, the fact that it's not going to be written by George Lucas, who can't do dialogue to save his life. It's a multitude of reasons why I'm very excited about this.
And Spencer?
I'm a huge original Star Wars fan. The last three were shaky. I did love the last one, though, like the turn when he became Darth
Stop
Vader.
Stop it.
Really?
Stop what? It. What's the
what? Really? You are, don't fucking
no,
even
I
go
love,
there.
The
are you
final
serious?
Hour,
you loved
I the final
that?
Hour of that movie was excellent. Like, his turn was great.
Well, yeah, I mean, the lightsaber battle between Obi-Wan and Anakin was great, but honestly, you didn't find the whole conversion to the dark side just kind of very, like, on a whim?
I thought it was, like, compared to the other two, which, like, I can't even remember the other two because they were just, like, so long and they're just bad. Like you said, the dialogue was bad. I just thought, like, the final hour of that movie was, like, the darkest it got to in that trilogy, and I just like I really
okay,
enjoyed.
But explain to me,
whatever. I get that you're saying like it didn't like maybe lead up enough, but I thought definitely the fight scene at the end, but just like there's something changed in that movie versus the other two, where it was just like finally showing some glimpses of the old trilogy, where it was just getting to like a darker level. Okay, overall, I did not like the new trilogy. That's my whole point. But the only thing I'm
But I really need to stress yeah. this point. In the movie, why did Anakin turn to the dark side?
Because the Emperor was like constantly in his head. I thought, like, kind of telling him he deserves more.
But what was the moment? Like, he literally goes from 15 minutes into
he's frustrated throughout
at
the very beginning. He's frustrated.
15 minutes. Hold on, let me make the point. 15 minutes before he turns, yeah. He's telling Mace Windu, oh, by the way, I found out who the Sith Lord is. It's the Chancellor. You should probably go and arrest him. And Mace says, stay here. Gives him clear orders. He hops in his speeder, and Mace is kicking a little ass and is about to, like, finish him off. And then he just, like, on a dime, goes, no, I'm gonna hack off your arm. It was such a stupid conversion. And even if you would accept the fact that he needed the dark side to save Padma at some point and was willing to, like, keep him alive, there's a difference between willing to keep him alive and being a complete disciple of him.
I thought I have to see the movie again, but I was pretty sure, like, the Emperor no, I'm saying, like, I thought the Emperor had talks with him, like, how, like, the Jedi's are, like, holding him back and everything throughout the movie. Even the very beginning opening scene, that fight where they it's kind of escalating because he's feeling he's being held back, you know.
But how does he go from literally being loyal to the Jedi Order 15 minutes ago and then 15
minutes
later
he was doing it reluctantly,
like, slicing
Brian,
off arms of his
Brian,
Jedi
he's
masters
doing it reluctantly, like he was annoyed.
No,
he's
he not. He right. did it.
Well, let's both watch the movie again and we'll talk about it. I recall him being very frustrated with, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi and everybody, just because, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi's like, I know what's best for you, and finally got to a point where he's like, you don't know what's best for me. And I thought it just kept brewing. I don't think it was, like, so out of the blue, but whatever. Anyway, we totally got off topic.
Was it out of the blue?
Anyway, what I was going to say was out of the blue? I'm a little skeptical about J.J. Abrams just because he's doing Star Trek, and I feel like they're two different entities, two different cultures, and I hope that he's able to.
Are you concerned about a crossover
do
episode?
It differently, is my point. I hope that he doesn't mix the two, because I think it's hard when they're both like sci-fi type movies.
Yeah.
You see with Spielberg.
I completely disagree with that because
you won't let me talk. Anybody, please.
You got him all riled up by saying that third movie was good.
No, I said the final hour of the third movie was good.
That's what riled me up.
So anyway, my point is, you look at Spielberg. A lot of his sci-fi movies are all the same, in my opinion. They're all
aliens.
They're all shot the same. Loves aliens. Loves these mechanical aliens. So that's my only concern. But I am excited nonetheless to keep the story going. So there.
I do feel bad for Abrams' sons because they're never going to see their father. I mean, he's doing Star Trek and Star Wars. I don't know how mentally he can handle those two giant franchises back to back. It's pretty crazy. Moving on to the next headline. The hottest roles in Hollywood are who will star in the movie adaptation of the popular romance novel 50 Shades of Grey. Rumors are that the movie will be a hard R and will include the same S&M sex scenes and nudity portrayed in the book. Ooh. Now, we can all agree that this movie will most likely suck, but it gives us a chance to watch some very good-looking people get naked and get it on. With that said, Spencer, who is your dream actress to land the role of Anna, essentially meaning you'll get to see this actress naked and in bondage?
Well, let me ask you, I mean, do you know any description about the character in the book, like her color hair, anything like that? Just curious. Her bustiness.
Have you read the books, Brian?
I've read the books.
Yes.
He has.
Oh, you haven't. Okay.
You can see him reading.
All right,
yeah,
so
you can see him, like,
without knowing.
Spencer reading the books and his glasses fog up.
Oh, and they crack at the last second. Right when the sex scene happens. Okay, so without knowing...
Basically, your dream actress.
I mean, it would have been good to incorporate that, but without knowing that, I think, Kate Beckinsale would love to hear that story unravel on the screen.
Oh, my.
I think I'll go with Kate Beckinsale.
Nice. And B-Mart, who is your wish to play Christian Grey, the dominant and highly sexual lead of the film? Who may show some cock?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know, how old is this guy?
He's young. Actually, that's one of the critiques that my friend has told me. I think he's like in his mid-20s.
Oh, that does make it more difficult.
Who's going to make love to Kate Beckinsale?
I think a great possible selection, although I'm not sure if he's a big enough star to get it, is Matt Bomer.
Oh, from White Collar, right?
Yeah. Nice. I mean, I think he's all kinds of sexy. Not only would I watch him spanking somebody, I would volunteer to be the person.
He kind of looks like you, Brian.
Paul. Yeah.
Spencer, that's really sweet of you.
Yeah. We're talking about the guy from Seinfeld that's in White Collar, right?
Yeah. The other guy. Yeah.
The reversal Jerry, right? The bizarro Jerry?
Yeah.
You guys
bizarro
look like.
Bizarro Jerry. We'll let you guys know, there's been a lot of rumors about who's going to get these roles, but apparently the front runners are for Anna, Emma Watson from the Harry Potter movies. And for Christian Grey, it is the guy, Ian Somerhalder from The Vampire Diaries.
I would watch him spank somebody / be spanked by him. Yes, that works for me.
All right, guys, the final headline. I don't know if you guys know this, but in the late 90s, Tim Burton was attached to direct a new Superman movie starring Nicolas Cage as Superman.
They started filming it at the time, I thought, right?
Yeah. So the film never happened, but pre-production photos were released showing Cage dressed in a flashy gray and green Superman outfit. Sounds pretty out there, doesn't it? Well, there's a Kickstarter campaign that was started by a Superman fan who plans on filming a documentary about the proposed film with interviews with Cage and Burton. Would you guys have liked to have seen a Tim Burton's Superman movie?
No.
Spencer.
I would have loved to see a Nick Cage as Superman movie. I mean, I don't really care about the Tim Burton aspect, but I just think Nick Cage movies, like, the guy doesn't get enough credit for being such an just crazy, horrendous actor at times. But, like, his movies are enjoyable. Yeah. You can't deny the guy knows how to make you – anytime Face Off comes on, I love watching that movie. Yeah. You know? So
what's great about Nicholas?
That is actually an enjoyable movie.
And they released a photo recently of him in the suit. And he's, you know, he's balding in a Superman suit. Like, you really believe Superman is a balding guy?
I think it's great.
Not even the last son of Krypton is immune from the effects of male pattern baldness.
All right, well, I hope this documentary gets made because this movie seems really out there. And if you guys want to learn more about the campaign, go to Kickstarter and search The Death of Superman Lives. Boys, that's Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. It is Oscar season in LA, and everyone is abuzz, and we thought it would be a great idea to bring our resident movie expert, Derek Green, on to discuss the big categories. We're not going to discuss Best Original Screenplay or Best Musical Score or anything like that, but obviously the five big categories, Actress, Actor, Supporting Actor, Supporting Actress, and Best Picture, we thought Derek would be a great guest to bring on. So, Derek Green, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
We are going to discuss today the best supporting actress and best actress. So, who do you think? First, we'll go over the category or the nominees for best supporting actress and give us some of your insights.
Sure. So, the 85th Academy Awards is going to be on February 24th at the now named Dolby Theater in Hollywood.
Poor Kodak.
Yeah, well, they just didn't have the money.
Literally, poor Kodak.
And we were just talking about it, you know, that's sort of just the transition from film to video because, you know, films are not being shot in film anymore. They're being shot on video.
Thank you, George Lucas and James Cameron.
Yep, you can thank them. However, you still have the purists out there such as Steven Spielberg. He shot Lincoln on film, as I believe. So anyways... going back to, we want to start with best actor, best actress?
Best actress and best supporting actress.
Okay, so best actress, the category, we have some pretty top talent. We have Jessica Chastain, Lawrence, Emmanuel Riva, Kevin Hayne Wallace, I think I screwed that name up, and Naomi Watts.
We'll fix it in post.
And what movies is Emmanuel Riva in?
She's in this movie called Amour. Yeah, so Amour is a film that's up for Best Picture in both the just overall category and the foreign film category. So it's one of these movies that could be potentially dark horse. I don't think it's going to win Best Picture, but it's probably going to win Best Foreign Picture.
Got it.
So, and she's this old lady. Like, that's her, this Emmanuel Riva. Like, really, just really old. Like, if you've seen the picture of the one sheet of the poster... It's her, like, looking like, oh, like, old.
Yeah.
So, front runner right now is probably Jennifer Lawrence, Jessica Chastain. Those two. You know, Jennifer Lawrence won the Golden Globe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she also won the SAG Award, if I'm right. Jeremy, is that correct?
Isn't SAG much more indicative of a potential win than Golden Globes? I mean, Golden Globes, honestly, it's just the Hollywood Foreign Press sucking up to anyone who they can get to their
right.
To
I smell weekly
dinner.
Rant.
Right. Yeah, that's correct because the I would say the Hollywood Foreign Press are not really voting in the Academy, and I would say probably there's some overlap with the SAG. Members, I'm sure there's some SAG members that are also in the Academy voting for the best actor, actresses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if you guys seen Zero Dark Thirty. Jessica Chastain did a great job in that movie. Yeah, it was a great job. But when you think of, like, these roles that people win for best actresses, Zero Dark Thirty is not the right movie. Jennifer Lawrence plays this emotionally damaged girl, and it's this really great role. It's sort of a feel-good movie at the end, and I think she's probably going to be the one that's going to take it.
Do you think that the whole negative buzz around Zero Dark Thirty, the torture, is going to affect Jessica Chastain? Because she was like the front-runner pre-Golden Globes. Like, she was winning everything.
Yeah, and it's just I think it's a tough movie to vote for. You know, it's also up for Best Picture, so I don't think I don't think it's going to be a movie that's going to win Best Picture, and I don't think Jessica has a chance of winning. She has a chance, she's just not going to win.
Inside sources say that, right?
There's also, you know, a lot of speculation on Naomi Watts for The Impossible, That's the movie about the tsunami. And she's supposed – I haven't seen the movie, but she supposedly gives an awesome performance there.
Interesting.
And then you have the and then the last one, I think this it's the little cute girl, Quevin Hayne Wallace. She's from the movie Beasts of the Southern Wild, which is a small, kind of more independent movie, and she's the little girl in it. You know, it's sort of like a nice little nod to her, but she's not gonna
win. Yeah, but the little girl almost never wins. I mean, when was the last little girl that actually won an Oscar?
Well, but she's carrying the movie, right?
I know, but
Anna,
like,
Anna Paquin, I would say. Didn't she win on in the pianist or the piano?
The penis? I'm sorry, what?
The piano. I have a bad
What's
connection.
The penis about?
Spencer, if you have to ask, you'll never know.
So that's a different movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on though to best supporting actress. This
is more up for grabs.
This category is always seems to be much more wide open.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna say real fast, Brian.
I'm sure this year
I'm
is
just gonna
so
say
different.
Real fast. If Derek, if you say Alan Arkin's gonna win, I'm walking out right now. Okay, continue.
Well, this is the actress, so he's not up for.
Oh, they said best actor, supporting actor.
No, supporting actress. We're taking care of the women first.
If Alan Arkin goes in drag, does that count? I don't know.
But best supporting actress, who are the nominees this year?
Okay, so we have Amy Adams in The Master. We have Sally Field in Lincoln. Anne Hathaway, Les Mis. Helen Hunt, The Sessions. And Jackie Weaver, Silver Linings Playbook.
Now, Derek, does anyone realistically have a chance other than Anne Hathaway to win this?
Yes, I actually do. I think Sally Field and Amy Adams are both big contenders for it. Anne Hathaway, right, is sort of the front runner right now. Les Mis, you know, she gives a great performance there, but it's still a musical. It's still not considered maybe more serious than the performance Amy Adams gives in The Master or the performance Sally Field gives in Lincoln.
Well, Derek,
Sally Field really does channel some batshit crazy with Mary Todd Lincoln. So she did a really good job in that role. But I think my view is because Anne Hathaway went through all that, like, transformative things that she did. She lost a lot of weight. She cut her hair. The Academy seems to reward that kind of, you know, severe
Christian
acting.
Bale.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's a good point.
And didn't
Christian Bale
didn't
lost
Catherine
how much
Zeta
weight
Jones
for?
Win for Chicago years ago.
She did. Yeah.
She won. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Anne Hathaway's got this. But let me ask you this, Derek: do you think
who should win?
I don't know
right.
No. Well, I'm gonna say. I don't know if you guys have been listening to some of her speeches have been getting like highly criticized. I don't know if you guys saw the Golden Globes, but it kind of had everyone was thinking that she had like a very much it's all about me feel to it. Do you think people can vote for maybe Sally Field out of spite towards Anne Hathaway? I mean, I she's kind of making a lot of news in the press for, you know, she flashed her vagina first and then she's making some weird speeches.
Whoa,
do you think
in.
Any
wow.
of that?
When did this happen?
She flashed her vagina at the Golden Globe.
Let's talk about that.
It was it was like at a premiere beforehand. Do you think any of this could affect people voting for Anne Hathaway?
Possibly, right? The Oscars, the people that vote in the Academy, they're all sort of older, maybe more conservative people. So, yes, maybe it could affect it.
Derek, I have a question. Do you think they nominated Anne Hathaway for the wrong movie this year?
Are you talking about The Dark Knight Rises?
That is correct.
She was
I think
she
was
awesome.
I thought she was
she
actually
was great.
Really good at that. Surprisingly, I was actually very surprised. She was very good in it.
Yeah, she was
great.
She's
a great
but
actress.
I don't know if you guys saw Les Mis, but she gave a great performance. It was there was this one shot, I think it was just a single take of her singing, and it was literally like close up for like 4 minutes of her, and it was just pretty impactful. So if there's one thing that's going to make her win the Oscar, it's going to be that performance, that particular scene when she gives her her big song. But then you look at something like Sally Field and Amy Adams' performance is more of a, you know, full length of the movie, probably larger film time role.
Mm-hmm. So your prediction is best actress, Jennifer Lawrence, best supporting actress, Anne Hathaway.
That, yeah, exactly. I would say the dark horse would be Sally Field. And then I would say dark horse as best actress would be Naomi Watts.
It is the day before the Super Bowl, when we're recording this, and we have Magic Mikey with his final predictions for the football season. Mikey, take it away.
Welcome, everybody, to Magic Mikey's Super Bowl picks. After taking the playoffs off and betting on some NBA, especially the Golden State Warriors and Memphis Grizzlies, it's time to make my Super Bowl picks. Gonna have a little fun with it this year. Gonna take a couple of fun prop bets that we've seen, as well as over-under the score. So bear with me, make yourself some nice cash tomorrow. Here we go. First fun prop bet. Completions versus points. Colin Kaepernick will have more completions than Dwayne Wade will score points tomorrow. What do we think is going to happen there? Kaepernick, +4 I'm going to take on that one. Kaepernick will definitely have more completions than Dwayne Wade will score tomorrow afternoon. Next fun one, doing an NBA-NFL switch here. Steve Nash, +/-3 more points versus the first TD going over under 3.5 yards. Steve Nash better be taken over for COVID in the assist department tomorrow. So let's take Steve Nash against the Pistons, +3.5 more assists tomorrow. Next one. Over under how many times it's going to be called the Harbowl, the Super Bar. A lot of fun names here, playing words with Harbowl. I'm going to take over 2.5. I think that's an easy one now. Next one. Will Joe Flacco score in this game? Whether he catches a pass, runs it in for the end zone, fumbles it, doesn't make a difference. Yes, +600. Minus, no, 800. So, after thinking about that a bit, let's take +600 and Joe Flacco will score tomorrow. On the other side, will Colin Kaepernick score a touchdown tomorrow? +1,000 are the odds. That means if you bet $1, you win 1,000. How can you not bet $1 on that? Well, I think that you should. That's what I'm saying. Colin Kaepernick will score. Now, what you've all been waiting for, Magic Mikey's picks for the Super Bowl. Get excited, get pumped, get ready. Over under 47.5 points. Over. High scoring affair. They may test each other in the first half, maybe a little bit low scoring, but both these teams have the offenses to do it. Point spread, 3.5. I think the Ravens cover the line, but San Francisco wins the game. Final score, 30-27. Take it to the bank, people. Have a good one.
All right, boys. What do you think about those picks? Pretty, pretty out there, huh?
Wild, wild picks.
I'm on that LeBron James bet.
He's playing in the Super Bowl? All right, boys. It has been a interesting podcast. Covered a lot of topics, and we did it with our traditional style in je ne sais quoi. So.
Classy. This is a classy podcast.
Keeping it real.
It is classy. It real. So, for Jeremy Katz and for Spencer Yasmin, I'm Brian Martinson, and catch us.
Hit the music. Time.